You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The theme of 2020 being the year that is unlike any other was shined through again today. Both the Big Ten and the Pac-12 can have postponed their 2020 football season.
One of the biggest things is an evolving concern over the unknowns, and that scares the bejesus out of these university presidents.
It is like 9-1-1 shut the whole thing down.
It's just devastation. I mean, it's what we do, right? We love.
I think this has been the most consequential day in the history of college football. Never have any of us seen anything quite like this.
And round we go. Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to College Football Live after what felt like a full weekend of college football. I'm Wendy Nix, along with Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy. We will start in the Big Ten, where conference presidents and chancellors met again on Sunday to talk about accelerating the league's return to football. Sunday's meeting featured an emphasis on protocols and also what has possibly changed since they initially decided to cancel the season on August 11th. But then this, University of Nebraska Assistant President Ted Carter indicating an announcement was coming today on a hot mic.
Look what they're getting ready to announce at Husker in Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
Right.
Well, to help clear this all up, as if that is remotely possible, college football reporter Heather Denich. And Heather, look, where do we stand as of this afternoon?
Well, to be clear, Wendy, ESPN has not confirmed as of this second that a vote has actually taken place. Ted Carter, who you just heard in that clip, is not actually a voting member. He is, he oversees the entire Nebraska system. It's Ronnie Green, who's the chancellor of Nebraska and actually has the vote in regards to the Huskers. But I can tell you this, sources have told ESPN over the weekend that an October 17th start date was presented to the presidents and chancellors for a possible return. We do expect a vote to happen tonight. Sources say that it could be an 8 or a 9-game schedule with a conference championship game coming on December 19th. That could sneak the Big Ten in for the college football playoff. Selection day is December 20th this year.
Heather, let me ask you this for the sake of argument, which is really all we can do right now. If we were to be talking about an October 17th, a mid-October start date, can the Big Ten still participate in the playoffs?
Well, Wendy, that is controlled by the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick. They are the ones who make the decisions about the college football playoffs. So whether their league is playing or not, they would have to determine whether to let the Big Ten in. My instinct is that they would let the conference in if they do play at least 8 games and sneak that championship game in on December 19th. But remember, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, ACC Commissioner John Swofford, and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey are all trying to navigate their leagues through longer schedules. So they are the most powerful voices in that room, if that's the question. Again, I think they will, but it's going to be a difficult conversation.
To be continued. Heather, thank you. Greg, I will start with you and simply ask it like this. At what point does all this back and forth and this indecision that we've seen become unfair to everybody involved?
Wendy, it's fish or cut bait. Like, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of speculating. Tell me, are you playing or are you not? Because from the beginning, I think Joey and you, Wendy, and everyone that's been associated with college football, we've said, what about the players? And all you're doing right now is you are leaving every single one of these players twisting in the wind. Are we playing? Aren't we playing? When are we starting? Is it a spring? Is it a fall? When are we going? We want answers. I don't care what they decide. Ultimately, if they decide to shut down the season, that's fine. Just stop talking about it. All right? If you decide to play on October 17th, great. Give us a way to get there. And at this point, all we've heard of these random rumors and sources and anonymous sources and all this indecision, just give us the answers, because all of us, frankly, Joey, are really tired of the constant and rampant speculation.
Which is why I don't go on Twitter, which is why I stay off of social media. So that way I don't have to hear all the random rumors and everybody like speculating. I do think we're there, though. I mean, the excitement is starting to well up here. I do think that we are right on the cusp of announcing a date for the Big Ten to start. And that's all that matters in all of this. You know, there was no point in speculating. There was no point in listening to the rumors. All we need is a date, just like you said, Greg. And I think we are right on the edge of getting that date.
Well, Joey, I think you're right. The Big Ten, of course, not confirming or denying that a vote or an announcement would take place today. But I would agree. I think we're close. And for all of our sakes, and mainly the players and coaches, I certainly hope so. One player, though, not waiting around to find out what the Big Ten will do, and that is Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade. He has opted out in anticipation of preparing for the NFL draft. He was a preseason All-American, projected as a first-round pick, ranking 7th on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board earlier this month. And needless to say, Wade was a force on the Ohio State defense last season. He had the highest forced interception percentage of any Buckeye defender, with at least 20 targets, and was the only other Buckeye defender other than Chase Young to record multiple forced fumbles. Still to come on College Football Live, the Sun Belt Conference pulled off 3 shocking upsets, plus some interesting comments from LSU head coach Ed Orgeron. We'll talk about both straight ahead.
College Football Live is brought to you by Wingstop. Order delivery now at wingstop.com, where flavor gets its wings.
In the midst of the pandemic, LSU has already lost wide receiver Jamar Chase and defensive back Kerry Venson, who both opted out. And with the defending national champions kicking off their season next Saturday at home against Mississippi State, Ed Orgeron was transparent earlier today about his team and COVID-19. Coach O had this to say to reporters: not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it. I think that hopefully they won't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games. Obviously, Greg, this is an ongoing issue. This is what has kept some teams from practicing, some games from being rescheduled. But what's your initial take on Orgeron's comments about the majority of his players at some point contracting COVID-19?
No, I'm not surprised. And I remember it being a big story back in June, Wendy. When LSU players returned to campus, they went to a place called Tigerland. That was a bar, and a lot of those players, as a result of that visit on campus upon their return, they contracted COVID-19. They had 30-plus results at that point. I would imagine with contact tracing and everything else that's gone on from that point moving forward, a few other guys probably got it throughout the course of June. I think they actually spiked after the July 4th holiday, if you read and talk to people down in Baton Rouge. However, since they started a more controlled environment, a more maybe a little bit more committed to the practice environment, guys haven't had that freedom. They haven't had that luxury to go out and enjoy what it is to be a college student. So actually their numbers have been on a steady decline over the last few months, but I wasn't surprised at all to hear him say that, knowing some of the storylines that we had coming out of the summer and more specifically the July 4th holiday, Joey.
Greg, that actually makes me laugh to hear your take on that. You make it sound like we're talking about these guys caught a cold. I don't recall at any point in time hearing about the LSU program shutting down because of COVID. We've had all summer long teams shutting down, programs having to take time off because guys caught it. You make it sound like, oh, well, 30 guys caught it. They went to a bar. He is saying most of his players, and in backing that up with, I'm not sure how many. It just really sounds uninformed. And when you say, hopefully, my guys don't catch it again, that makes me worry. And so in this situation, when so many people have taken so many steps to be protected and worry about this situation, that sounds very uninformed. And if I was a player, if I was a parent with a player on that team, it would make me worry about the way he nonchalantly just threw that out there.
Well, I also think, too, they talked at length, Coach O and everyone associated with LSU, is we have to educate our guys. Like, they didn't take it seriously in June. They didn't take it seriously in July. Like, it's been a process to get to this point to where they finally understood the ramifications of the decisions that they're making. Now, they're never going to publicize the amount of guys that tested positive. They're not going to give us a list of names, guys who were out, guys who were in, guys who had to take some time in quarantine. They're not going to give us any of that. All we can hope is that now that they're in a football environment, Joey, and they're playing against teams and they're out in the community and they're playing against teams every single Saturday, all we can hope is that these guys have been smart over the last few weeks to avoid potentially exposing themselves to a virus that is remarkably problematic for the college football season. So I think it's something that we're going to have to continue to monitor, but I also think this is something that they've dealt with. They've put it to bed, and hopefully it's not something they have to worry about moving forward.
Number one, it's not something that you put to bed because this thing is continuing. And my point is, that doesn't sound good. It's a bad look for Coach O, it's a bad look for LSU, and it's a bad look for the SEC. When a lot of people around the country already think that the SEC is taking this lightly. So you have a head coach, one of your main head coaches in the conference of the SEC coming out saying, hopefully my guys don't catch it again. Well, it has been proven that people can catch it two times. And so when you have that out in front, and you're saying, hopefully, that doesn't make me feel comfortable if I'm on your team. It doesn't make me feel comfortable if I have to play against you. And when you say, I don't know how many of my guys caught it, that is a terrible look. It's awful. And this is what makes people worry. And this is why guys are opting out. And this is why players are saying we need a voice in the room because of statements like this from coaches, from leaders, from people who are making decisions. That is a terrible look by Coach O.
Well, what's also interesting, guys, and every conference has different protocols when it comes to COVID-19. In the case of the SEC, players don't have to be retested for 90 days if they've had a positive test. So when he talks about longer-term ramifications and players missing practice or missing games, clearly, it could be an issue because we're not going to know anything for a solid 90 days, Greg.
Yeah, and I think that that's all part of the parameters, and I would imagine – they have used the information provided them by their public health officials about what's a safe time frame to where you could potentially not have the antibodies to fight the virus anymore. Like, I'm not a doctor. I can't sit here and tell you whether or not it's going to ramp back up during flu season. All I can do is use the information that's been provided to us by people that are knowledgeable on the situation. And I'm going to trust the SEC. I'm going to trust all the football leagues that they are making sure that the players' health and safety is at the forefront. And that these players, by the way, you're mentioning a lot of guys opting out. LSU's actually had guys opt back in, Joey, to playing in the season. So, yeah, there are guys that are opting out that are not comfortable, but no one's being forced against their will to play. If they don't want to play and they're not comfortable with the parameters, then by all means that they don't need to, that's for sure. So, Joey, I think it's a troubling thing without question. I don't disagree with you on what Ed Orgeron had to say. But I also think at this point, he doesn't want to tell you too much about what they've gone through within the program.
There's no point in making the statement. You don't have to tell me anything. What I'm saying is, and you're right, none of us are doctors, but there is information out there that we have access to. And so the first thing I thought when he said, hopefully our guys don't catch it again, what's already been proven that you can catch it again. And so all I'm saying is, you're right, this is a decision made by players on a team and they may decide to play. But when a coach, when a leader makes these kind of statements, it undercuts what people are believing, that these guys are doing everything they can to protect these players, and it comes across as uninformed. It comes across as nonchalantly throwing it out there, I don't know how many. And when you put hopefully in a sentence two times, you're talking about a medical situation, that doesn't make me feel good. And it doesn't make me feel good if I had to go play against this team. That's all I'm saying. It's a terrible statement that makes the situation look worse.
Well, I tell you what, Greg, I was the first to agree with you that the Big Ten needs to fish your gut bait, but I'll circle back. And I do think these are the kind of things and the kind of issues that they're wrestling with when they take this to a vote, because this is what they're concerned about too. So a lot of different opinions, right, and a lot of conflicting information out there. But again, we will see. Let's talk about the weekend that was in college football, because we did have college football. Coming up, the Sun Belt Conference pulled off three shocking upsets of Big 12 teams over the weekend. We'll tell you what that could mean for the overall college football landscape.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
This week, our Saturday night football game, De'Aaron King leads the number 17 Hurricanes into Louisville to take on the number 18 Cardinals. That's 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. Saturday night football presented by Capital One. Now for this week's ultimate performance presented by BMW, and that honor goes to the Sun Belt Conference, who not one, not two, but three wins over Big 12 opponents this weekend, most notably Louisiana over then 23rd ranked Iowa State. Entering Saturday, the Big 12, by the way, had won 21 of their last 22 against the Sun Belt, which begs the question, you never know, Greg, is this a sign of things to come for the Big 12? They certainly hope not.
Whew, it was not a good weekend for the Big 12, Wendy. I think it proved what we've known for a little while about the Big 12. The league, top to bottom, is just not overwhelmingly physical. They really aren't. And you saw a Louisiana team go into a top 25 Iowa State Jack Trice Stadium, and they made pretty quick work of what we saw from the Cyclones. Man, it was an impressive and dominant performance. Then it only parlayed itself with how Arkansas State easily handled Kansas State. And then what you saw from Coastal Carolina smacking Kansas around. So outside of Oklahoma and Texas, and we'll see more from the Oklahoma State and some of the other teams within the Big 12. But man, as far as 1 week's concerned, that was a really difficult look to shake, and one that the Big 12 will try to soon forget.
Joey, let me ask you this. There's always contributing factors, and we know we're dealing with a different kind of environment right now. What do you think is happening here?
Well, I think that the teams that lost. I don't know that we give enough credit to the Sun Belt for what they're able to accomplish. We sort of talked about these games about Kansas or Kansas State or Iowa State as if it was about them. But honestly, we got to give a lot of credit to the Sun Belt, Arkansas State and Coastal Carolina. You know, and you just have to say, like, great job coming out, doing your job. Louisiana taking back two kicks, a punt and a kick. That's impressive football. The thing that interested me is, so with no fans in the stands, you got 18, 19, 20-year-old kids out here playing football. It's going to be a tougher job for these coaches to keep their teams motivated, because you don't have the external excitement in the arena. You don't have your fans screaming. There's nothing to draw that energy from. And so when you're in a quiet stadium, it's going to feel like a scrimmage. And for these teams that are used to winning, they're going to have to get out there and find a way to stay motivated, find a way to bring their own energy, because if they don't, they will lose like the three teams did in the Big 12.
No, I think Louisiana especially, Joey, deserves ample amounts of credit for what they pulled off. I mean, three phases dialed in, physical, trying to establish the line of scrimmage, really impressive. But you're 100% right. And it is not exclusive to the Big 12. It's home teams across the board. In the ACC, we will see it in the SEC, in the Big 12, in the American. Home teams are going to struggle, because when you're in a familiar environment and you can't feed off the energy of a home crowd, man, that neutralizes things very, very quickly. So I actually think playing at home might hurt you, especially if there's zero fans and if there's a really small number of fans. So something to keep an eye on as far as the trend's concerned throughout the season.
I got to tell you, I know there'll be people that disagree, but for me, college football, the lack of fans in college football makes a bigger difference than in just about any sport, because you guys know students and the fan base, it is electric. And to me, without that, I mean, it is a different animal they're going to have to get used to. We'll take a look now, speaking of which, at the college football rankings. They are presented by Chick-fil-A. Clemson at the top of the second straight week, followed by Alabama. Alabama, by the way, the first of three SEC schools ranked in the top five. Joey Galloway, though, we talk about it every year. We've yet to see it happen, but why not? Why stop now? You know, is this the year that we could potentially see a Group of Five school in the postseason?
They definitely got a better chance with less teams playing. Their chances go down when the Big Ten announces that they're back in. So it's going to be interesting as we look at that ranking. I want to see what happens the minute the Big Ten announces that they're playing football. Greg, did you go back and re-vote? Because you've got to put Ohio State somewhere in that top five. You got to add in some teams. So it's like an immediate call the voters back in. Let's redo this thing and add the Big Ten.
The strongest reaction for a Big Ten's vote is probably going to be in Columbus, Ohio, and maybe State College, Pennsylvania. But the second loudest reaction might be in Orlando, Florida, where UCF is located, because they are going to lose their minds if now that fourth playoff spot is potentially occupied by a Big Ten champion. Because, Joey, I really think this is the best year ever for the Group of Five. They don't have as crowded of a landscape. They have bigger platforms to be able to showcase their ability. And there's only three Power Five champions that are going to be able to get into the college football playoff. Usually there's five. Five teams for four spots, plus a group of five, almost impossible for them to get in. But this year, it's a very realistic possibility, unless, and that is a big unless, the Big Ten decides to opt back in, and we might find that out within the next 24 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Greg, when you say there's three Power Five, but you're also going to ask one of those teams to jump ahead of maybe the second place team in the SEC. I would guess that if the Big Ten doesn't play and you have the Big 12, SEC, ACC, I'm guessing the second place SEC team is going to be the biggest hurdle for one of these other teams to jump over.
Well, you're both right. The Big Ten's decision, the Pac-12 too, but the Big Ten will have a significant impact on what happens next. And just to recap, we do anticipate, although we're not 100% sure, but we anticipate a vote coming likely tonight, and that the Big Ten will announce some type of decision as early as later tonight or tomorrow. And we'll have all the news tomorrow on College Football Live.